hearing lectures, whatever you hear. It's for the purpose that you should have an eye-opener, start thinking a little bit bigger. Now, although you're young, but I must tell you one thing. I was even younger than you guys. I was only 6-7 years old in the Holocaust and had to fight for life. Had to fight for life. My father used to tell me, hold on, hold on, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. And after the war, when the war was finished, and people started traveling, settling, I used to ask my father, where is Mashiach? He said, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. For a year or two, until I stopped asking. But when he didn't come, I asked him other question. Why did we went through so many miracles? Why were we saved? Obviously, every Jew who was saved in the Holocaust was a miracle. There must be a purpose. God is not investing in miracles just for no reason. Well, if somebody would have told me then that 63 years later you're going to be a great grandfather and you're going to give lectures and you're going to help other people and you're going to deal with other people to help them how to work themselves, well, it would be easier to know, to prepare. But nobody told it to me. Nobody's telling you, everyone sitting here, who you're going to be in 20, 30, 40 years from now. So who are you going to be? So let me give you, I want to speak to like adults. Some serious thoughts. There's out in the world a statistic, you know, a statistic, a fact, a reality. So many people die young. So many people divorce. So many people have no children, or they have sick children. There's a lot of suffering out in the world. And there's a statistic. Certain percentage of people will never have children, certain percentage of people will have sick children, certain percentage will be widows, divorce, difficult lives, no parnosa, no earlyhood, sick, tragedies. It's happening. It's a reality that you can't just brush it off. Now you are young, and you're looking forward, and you start thinking about yourself. Who will I be? In which category will I be? Will it happen to me? Will I have children? Will I be happily married? Will I be healthy? How do I know? How can I now, when I'm young, and you're preparing for life, how can you securely assure yourself that you should have a happy life in the future? Can you give me any solution? Have you thought of it? Nobody could guarantee it for you. So when I told you when I was 6 years old that I wanted to die 100 times a day because I couldn't take the famine, the starvation, I was crying, I want to die, I don't want to live. And my father tells me, hold on, hold on, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. He didn't tell me what's going to be. But that's just the chizuk. You have a purpose here. And of course, if they would have told me exactly what's going to be, it would be easy, it would be nice. But they didn't tell it to me. And the answer is what you learn today, which will help you all your life, is one thing. There's Hashem, and you are His child. Hashem loves you. And every person has a mission. And every mission is important. And what is the importance of the mission? So let me give you a childish example. Let's say there's a beautiful big picture, a jigsaw puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle, you know what a puzzle is? A big picture. Put together, let's say, from 1,000 pieces. 1,000 pieces. And there are 1,000 people, and you give everyone one piece. And let's say this picture is worth $1 million. And you're being told, listen, you are 1,000 people here, and everyone has a piece. If you get it together, and everyone is investing in placing his piece in the place, in the picture where it belongs, when you complete the picture, you get $1 million. and you divide $1 million between 1,000 people. Because everyone is a partner. How much will everyone get? No? You divide $1 million for 1,000 people. How much will you get? I give you a testament. How much? 1,000. Exactly. Everyone get $1,000. Nice. All you have to do is take your piece and work where it belongs in the puzzle, and you're going to get $1,000. Now you're being told, you know, if you don't work, you know what you... You say, I don't care. I don't need $1,000. But if you don't work, you don't put $1,000, you don't put a place in, the picture never going to be completed. 999 people are going to lose $1,000. Is it fair? Just we don't care about your $1,000, but the picture never going to be completed. It may not need immediately. If I'm not going to do my job, nobody could, my piece could nobody put, Moshe Rabbeinu cannot put in his piece. So if I am careless, I don't care, you know, sometimes if I don't care, but you know who you're affecting? The entire world. The Mishnah says, if you give up on one person doesn't do his job, he destroyed the full world. Because the world has a value, and the world has to be put together by every person. And if you give up your peace, the whole world is worthless. They call him a kaim nefesh achas. If you do your job, you do your thing, you came anymore because you completed the picture. So now, okay, it's a nice example. So then you're going to say as follows. Okay, I have to put in my work in order I should get $1,000 and everyone should else get $1,000. But it's not fair. His work is an easy piece. His piece in the puzzle is a nice sky. It's easy to find his location. My piece is very difficult. I have to work very hard to put my piece. And it's not fair. In order to make the picture complete, they're going to be like him. Therefore, I don't want... And that may be an escape. But how about the one who owns the picture, he has a lot of money. This picture really worth $1 million. And he says to us as follows. Listen, 1,000 guys. If you put together the picture together, everyone gets $1 million. Everyone gets the full picture. My picture is $1 million, your picture is $1 million. So now, if you don't put your piece in, you're losing $1 million. You may not lose somebody else's. What I just described is exactly how the situation works. Hashem created this world. This world is called Olam Hazeh. This world. What is this world? This world is a puzzle. Meaningless. Does anyone understand what's going on in the world? What happened in the past? What's going to happen in the future? Hashem says to us, "Ein lach adam she'elo makom, ein lach adam she'elo sha'." Every person has his place in this world. And Hashem says to Adam HaRishon, "Milu eso oretz v'kibshu, fill in the world. Take your life, take your situation and fill it. Place it where it belongs." How? You ask Hashem, under any given situation, what are you supposed to do now? What do you want from me now? And if you do it, you're completing the whole picture and the whole world belongs to you. And what is Mashiach? And everyone puts his place in. Monoho, Ores Dei Hashem. And everyone places his piece in the puzzle. Do you realize that you are a partner in the same work, the Rashi word, the Rambam word, the Rekive Eger word, in Rove, in Abai, in Avashe, in Rebbe Loza, Rebbe Shimon, and the Leviim? We're working on the same project. I'm just as important as the greatest people lived thousands of years ago. He had to put his piece into the picture. I have to put my piece into the picture. And there is never a Jew who hasn't got his place where to fit it in, where to put it in. That's the greatness of every Jew. Now, you have a choice to believe it or not to believe it. So people, when I always say people, say, I don't believe it, I'm so important. What else do you have then? This, what we are talking, is Torah Emes. Torah Emes is the word. You know, I don't want to bring an example of a movie, because a movie is not a good example. But suppose there's a movie which takes 5 hours. Very tense message in the movie. And you happen to walk in the middle of the movie, people watching it for 2 hours. And you walk in and you see scenes what is coming up. Can you understand what's going on there? When you miss, you can see the past. Can you? No way. In order to understand a movie, you have to be there from beginning to the end. The longer the movie is, the more difficult it is to identify what is this piece doing here. But there's a way to understand, even if you walk in the middle of the movie, to get it, okay, where is this fitting? What is this complementing? You read the manuscript of the movie. Every movie has a manuscript for where you draw the pictures. And when you read the manuscript from beginning to the end, you know what the message of the movie is, then even you come in the middle of the movie, you could understand, well, this has to complement this, this is fitting this, this is going to be there. Because you know the story, you know where it's supposed to end up. Do you know the world? Life is like a movie. God created a 6,000-year movie. It started 5,766 years ago, and the movie is rolling. And I come in the middle of the play, where I have history behind me, thousands of years, and you look, what's going on here? Wars, Katyushas, whatever we're going through, Holocaust, stories, history, we don't begin to understand. We are very confused. So what can we do that life should become interesting? Let's read the manuscript. The manuscript of this movie, of the 6,000-year movie, is the Torah. Hashem written up the entire 6,000 years events in the Torah. And when we learn intensely Torah and start understanding what's going on, you could identify every picture in the movie, where it belongs, what to do with it. This is called Das Torah. You know, I think you visited great people. Rav Steinman, after we visited Rav Kenevsky, you went to Reb Chaim. You gotta go. You know, people who never looked out of the Talmud Amos, they never looked out of the Gemara. They never doesn't know what's going on in the world. Doesn't care, doesn't interest them. And people stay in line from morning to night for years asking advice. Business advice, shidduchim advice, medical advice. And they answer you. Where did you know it? Did you ever learn medicine? A man came once to the Chazon Ish and complaining that he has to go to brain surgery. Brain surgery? This is going back 50 years ago. And that's the brocha. She blessed him. The brain surgery says, "So, doctor, sir, which doctor are you going to go?" He said, "Hey, this is going to be my surgeon." The Chazon Ish said, "Okay, wait." Took a piece of paper. This exists, this has been printed. I made a description of the brain, instructions for the operator, for the surgeon, how he should operate on the brain. Well, he should be careful with this part. I made a picture on a piece of paper, it's available, it's printed. A copy of this little piece of paper. And said, give it to the doctor. Give it to the doctor. I said, I wrote him. And the man came and went to surgery and says, well, I have a message for the Chazon Ish. And he sent you a message and he came over the paper. And the doctor looked at it and he read it and looks at it. He didn't understand what he wants. And as he opened up the brain and he had a plan how to operate, and then he saw there was a certain difficulty and he had to make a certain turn, a certain twist, which is totally not conventional. It was exactly the description of the Chazon Ish. He went crazy. Did the Chazon Ish ever learn the medical book? Did the Rambam ever learn the medical book? All got it from Torah. All the chokhmahs, all the wisdoms, comes from Torah. Because I say, you know what's the Torah? Torah is the film. It's the film where you project on the screen. So people look at the movie, they don't know where it comes from. So they think, you know, it's real. Especially it's a long movie, it takes hundreds of years. You see, this is real, this is not shadow. But there's nothing on the screen unless it goes through the film. And the film is Torah. So therefore, those that learn Torah and Shema, totally selfless, totally attached to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They know the world. They understand that there's nothing. Lechem midah delarimisa ba'araisa. There isn't a thing which is not written in the Torah, because everything comes from Torah. Istaka ba'araisa ba'ara alma. Let me tell you a beautiful insight of Beis Halevi. When you read Torah, you say, what is the Torah for? How does the modern person read Torah? See, Torah is a very nice thing, learns ethics, how to have a good world, not to steal, not to rob, not to hurt each other. See, the Torah says, Lo Signov, don't steal. Nothing. And they finish with this. So what is the Torah here for? Torah is here for to make a good world. And if people don't listen to the Torah, they're stealing, you're losing money. What kind of world is it? Because he had not listened to Torah. Right? So he said, why does the Torah say, let's signal? Because we need the world, shouldn't be thieves. You're going to get hurt. Law and order. Them is not like that. Why are the thieves? Why are people stealing? Because the Torah says, let's signal. Don't steal. Hashem looked in the Torah. That's the manuscript, that's the plan, that's the blueprint of the creation. And the Torah says, let's signal, you're not supposed to steal. So Hashem says, well, the Torah says, don't steal, I have to create a world of stealing. Because if nobody steals, of would be right and steal. In other words, whatever is happening for us is written in the Torah, comes from Torah. With that I'm going to conclude. You have a schus, you're a young boy. You have a whole life in front of you. And as I said before, you don't know what's waiting you. You don't know what may hit us in life. How are you prepared to live 10 years, 20, 30 years from now when you're going to have children like you? What will you give over to them? And I can tell you a message which I heard from my Rebbe when I was a little bit older than you, 18, and a great rabbi, Rabbi Weissman. And he spoke to us was a very big visionary, deep person, once he learned with us, joined the program with the Rambam, and all of a sudden got very serious, started thinking very seriously. He started telling us, I don't know, should I tell you, should I not tell you, but I have no choice, I have to tell you. And he said, I'm afraid we'll be living in a big mistake. We're living in a big mistake. We're sitting on the suitcases, and we're waiting for Mashiach. That was about 10 years after the Holocaust. We were all Holocaust survivors. And after the Holocaust, he thought, what can we do? Who could live in the Jewish people? Everyone was an orphan, lost his family, lost his yeshivas. Where are you going to start now? Now, when a person is after such a catastrophe, such a tragedy, all you want to exist, you know, live from day to day. And he said to us, I'm afraid we'll be living in a big mistake. We're sitting on the suitcases and we're waiting for Mashiach. Is this the reason we survived? Why did Mashiach didn't come for the last 10 years? And he says, he quoted the Chassam Sofer. This is what I'm giving over to you now. It's a very serious message. When it comes to physical material matters, we have to live confidently, not to worry Mashiach is coming. We shouldn't worry. Mashiach, Hashem is our Father. I know there may be war, things happening, so and so. Hashem, it's your business. We are your children. You have to take care of us. And Gashmias, some physical material stuff, you don't have to worry. But the Ruchnias, spiritual survival, we have to worry it should happen. And he started screaming, saying to us, you have to worry, says the Chassam Sofer, that you invest for Torah, for the future, as Mashiach will not come for the next 50 or 100 years. Who is going to worry for the survival of Torah, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? He screamed. Who is going to worry for the Torah? And he started to open up their suitcases. We have to start beginning building a world like the world. Life starts today. God gave you life. And start investing in Torah to make sure that your grandchildren, grandchildren should have Torah. Who is going to be the rabbis? Who is going to be the poskim? Who is going to be the Rosh Hashivas? If Don't only worry for me to push through the few years to get married, to push through. You have to invest in Torah as Mashiach will not come for the next 100 years. And I was sitting there, I must admit, I was Maharal Acharab, I was thinking, what is the old man saying? I survived because of Mashiach. My father used to tell me, hold on, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is coming. Now my Rebbe tells me, who is going to worry for your granddad, children? What is he talking about? I couldn't accept what he's saying. But today I am a great grandfather. I have great grandchildren. Mashiach had not come. He was right. But because I had such a Rebbe, I worried. I invested in Torah. Yeshiva is scholarly, we have to do it. We have to work. We open up the suitcases, you have to make a revolution, you have to start building. So I heard this message 50 years ago, and unfortunately he was right. Today I'm a great-grandfather, but because we had such a Rebbe, we had invested in Torah, therefore we have Torah. I'm telling you now the same message, the same Chassam Sofer, that you, as young you are, you have to start investing in yourself for Torah, that you should have the capability and the responsibility to give further Torah, that one day you're going to be a grandfather and a great-grandfather, and Torah is going to flourish because you had invested in it. I feel it is an absolute responsibility to pass on this message, that the Ruchnias, the spiritual, you have to limit the responsibility that Bishmin and Nivram, the world have been created for me. And you're going to conclude with a little moshel of the Dibna Magid. When Noah was the only one left in the whole world got destroyed. And Noah comes out from the table, from the ark, and the table tells a story, Vayitach, that he planted a vineyard, and he made wine, and he drank, and he got drunk, and he unveiled. You know the story with Noah. He got drunk, what happened with him? So the Medrash has a very interesting story. The same day when he came out from the table, from the ark, he planted a vineyard. And the Svita Kerem, in the same day he made the wine, the same day he drank, the same day he got drunk, everything was the same day. So it's two questions. One question is, why should Hashem make such a miracle? The same day it should grow, bring grapes, make wine, it should get drunk. Why should Hashem make this miracle? And number two, why is the Torah telling me the story? Every story has a meaning. You have to learn something from it. Says the Dubna Magid, an interesting motion. There was once a great miracle Rebbe who makes miracles, gives blessings, comes through. And he came into a town and people stood in line to get brochas for this and for that. And there was a very poor man and the whole family, big, the two daughters couldn't find Shidduch, it was penniless. He was waiting in line to get a brocha, should get enough money to marry off his daughters. So finally, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, finally he got into the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I have 5 daughters, I can't marry him off, I'm penniless. Rebbe, give me a brocha. So the Rebbe tells him, you know what, I'll give you a brocha. You go home, and the first thing what you're going to do, the brocha is going to come in up when you die. The first thing you're going to do, you're going to get so blessed, make sure to use this blessing in a valuable way. Invest in the first thing which I'm giving you, but make sure don't lose it. He comes out, everyone is jealous of him. He's thinking, what should I do? What should I do? The first thing, the bracha should come in. Maybe I should start doing tshuva, becoming a big tzaddik. I can become a very big tzaddik, but for that I'm not going to marry my daughters. Maybe I should start really learning Torah, no kol haTorah kulo. The blessing is going to come in Limud HaTorah, fine, but still. Then he said, you know, my wife put away for the rainy day a few coins, a few pennies. Very poor. I'm going to take the money, I'm going to start counting money. And if the blessing is going to come into the money endlessly, you're going to get a lot of money. With a lot of money, becoming a Talmid Chacham, you got a tzaddik, you could marry your daughters too. So it comes on 4 o'clock in the morning, his wife is sleeping, wakes her up, quick, fast, give him the money, give the money. She put it away somewhere. And she got frightened, middle of the night, to hold up money. What do you need the money for? She said, don't ask any question, just give him the money. says, no, if you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to give you. No, but give the money. The kid said, they started fighting, and that was the first thing which you do. And the blessing came into the fighting, and they were fighting all their life, and they lost the bracha. He lost everything. Noah comes out of the table. Comes out of a destroyed world. I have to rebuild the world. How can I rebuild the world? So Hashem says, I give you a bracha. Whatever you're going to do, the first thing, the blessing is going to come in, and you're going to have blessing endlessly. What does Noah do? He should have gone plant wheat, bread. It should be panosa, then you could work. No, he needs wine. He was a whole year in the table, didn't have wine, luxury. And he plants a vineyard, a kerem. Okay, the bracha came in, the same day grew, the same he drank, but he got drunk. We are all Noahs. Every one of us came out of this table, we see a destroyed world in front of us. We have to rebuild the world. And everyone can rebuild the world. How can I do that? We have a bracha. Especially if somebody believes in it. You have a bracha, if you're going to take seriously, you're going to build Torah for your children and grandchildren and children. And we see the people who do it, they succeed. We see people who believe in their brachas, they grow beautiful, big communities, yeshivas and kehillas. This is your ultimate function as young adults. Hashem gave you the privilege, the schus, to be in Eretz HaKodesh, visiting great people in great places. Remember, you're going home, make right decisions, to go to the right place, to invest in Torah, and you grow big time with the Chachomim. And if for some reason Mashiach will not come in 50 years from now, and I'm going to be long gone, and you're going to have to work with the other generation, you're going to be able to tell you what I heard 50 years ago from my Rebbe, and you heard it 50 years ago now, and you're going to invest in it, it's going to be all your words, all your picture. You're going to do it, you're going to be Matzliach, because we have a big bracha, because Boko promised us, this story which Hashem gave us in Sinai for 2300 years ago, we're never going to forget it. It's going to be. And we get credit for that for carrying it down.